I've only just realized that today's episode was actually the complete opposite of last week's episode. So if you listened to last week, it was all about healthy relationships and romance and what is a healthy relationship and how do you, like, kind of how do you build one, or what are some of the ways that we interact as healthy individuals and what are some of the unhealthy ways. But it was really talking about a successful romantic relationship. And I didn't realize when I decided to do this one this week that Heart in a Million Pieces is the absolute opposite. I don't know how I didn't realize it, but just as I sat down now, I was like, oh wait, this is a song about heartbreak, about like the absolute other end of the spectrum. It's about when all the things fall apart and when the heart is left shattered and what that feels like. And yeah, so it's a song that took me about 3 years to write, because it took me that many broken hearts, three broken hearts in 3 years, all my broken heart, my heart rebroken several times. The wonderful thing about hearts is I think they actually benefit from breaking sometimes, because it kind of, then when they come back together, they've got all this sort of elastic glue that fits the heart back together, and then it can expand more and stretch more, and it's a little more of a, almost a complete heart somehow. Not to say that you should go out and try to find yourself some heartbreak. Really don't. It's not recommended, but it's going to happen at some point. And so maybe if we can look at it from that perspective, not as a negative, but just as a part of the experience of being human, and we can learn from that. So anyway, so this song, yeah, the first verse I wrote when my sweetheart at the time, a lovely woman named Anna, I was actually on a music tour at the time with her and my sister. And one night or one morning, she said, hey, I love you, but I don't think this is going to work out. And that was hard. And immediately I went off for a walk, and the first line of this song came into my head. Anyway, so let's listen to it, and I'll tell you the rest of the story afterwards. So yeah, I don't know if I can say please enjoy, but please feel and connect with Heart in a Million Pieces.
Tell the truth before we tear ourselves apart. blood runs among the ruins. There's dust within our hearts. Tell the truth before we tear ourselves apart. This king has given up his crown. There's no throne, all my tears have worn it down. I'm pacing these halls until I tire. I'm a prisoner to all that I desire.
That song still, it hits me hard. It's deep. Anyway, so yes, Heart in a Million Pieces. So what happened was I wrote the first verse in 2012 when I had this heartbreak. And then I couldn't write anything else for a long time after that. It might have even been, it was a good few years for sure. It was really, I just didn't know where to go from there. It was like, at that point, the first line said everything that I felt in that moment. You invented so many words to try to explain how it felt. The wind rushed past as I fell, a wish tossed too well. And it was just this feeling of like all the words that we used and that she was using and that we create to try to explain the experience, but no word can ever really explain actually any experience. And that's one of the things we have to acknowledge about language, is that language is only, it's only like maybe a blueprint, or it's an example, but it's not the real thing itself. And so we invent these words trying to say how it feels, but really the feeling itself is so much bigger and so much more intense and overwhelming than that at times. And then the wind rushed past as I fell, a wish tossed too well. It was just that feeling of like hope and dreams being gone, you know, like I dived so deeply into the experience of being with this person, and now it wasn't working for her and she wanted to go somewhere else, to do something else, to maybe be with someone else. And it was just that feeling of like, whoa, I felt like I was flying, and then I just realized I'm falling, and it's intense. And so I couldn't write anything else for that song. And I tried, I sat down and I was like, I want to finish this song, but I couldn't, nothing came. And then time passed as it does. And I fell in love again with a wonderful woman that it didn't work out. It was a kind of different experience. We both moved away from one another in that case. But it was that final moment where I realized when she wrote to me and said, hey, I'm actually back with my ex, and this is the direction I'm going in. It was that moment of realization. It was actually a beautiful moment, because I was living in a warehouse in London, and I got her email, and it had been coming for a long time. It wasn't really a surprise, but it was still that moment of realization, and I just got so emotional. I didn't know what to do, and I went for a walk down the streets of London. I was living in this shared artist warehouse with a bunch of friends, and I went for a walk down the road and was just pacing and like, wow, how do I get this expression? How do I express this emotion? I don't know what to do. And then I came home and walked into the kitchen area, and two of my housemates were there. And one of them, Petra, she looked at me and she said, are you okay? And I looked at her and I just said, no. And I started weeping, and I walked up to her and I just held her and buried my face in her neck and just cried. And my other housemate came up behind me and wrapped his arms around both of us. And I just felt so held. And it was actually quite a moment as a man in my own journey, to be able to be vulnerable in front of other people, to be able to say, no, I'm not okay. I am so sad. And to just be able to walk up to them and cry and be held by them and feel so safe. That was in itself a hugely healing moment and experience for me. So thank you for that broken heart. And then finally, I met this woman sometime later in California. And it was just from the start, the moment we met, I kind of had this, I was like, this is going to cause, I'm going to be a brokenhearted man very soon. Not through any fault of hers or mine. It was just the situation and the way that things were. But the heart does what it will and loves whom it will. And I just dived right in. But it was actually, I had just met her, and I wrote, and then the whole rest of the song came out. Like, as soon as I met her, I was sitting, I went away for a weekend to a beautiful lake somewhere. with another new friend, and I was sitting there playing guitar, and I started playing this song, and then it just came out. I don't think I can bear this again. My heart's in a million pieces. I don't know where to begin. I said, I don't think I can bear this again. You know, my heart in a million pieces. I don't know where this will end. It was that feeling of like, oh, here it comes, the shattering of the heart. I know it. I know it so well. But I still did it. And I'm glad I did. I can't say that I've ever regretted being in love, even though so much of the time it ends at some point in some form of heartbreak. I think, you know, it's this thing of where we seek pleasure and we avoid pain, but pain is an intrinsic part of the pleasure process. Like we have to, every rising has a falling, and that's what love is. And so this song, this is also, I think, one of the earliest songs for me where I moved away from trying to be positive. In a sense, I don't know if that makes sense, but it was really, with a lot of my songwriting, there's a resolution at some point in the song. Even if the song starts off in a kind of dark, sad place, it often ends in a light, uplifting place. My song In the Shadows is very much like that. And that's not a bad thing. I think it's a true representation of how I perceive the world a lot of the time, is that I go through a lot of darkness, but there's always some kind of a light that is a part of that darkness and that comes out of that darkness. But with this song and with some of the others I've written since, I don't really want to provide the answer of where the light is in the story. I just want to explore the feeling that is happening. And in this case, the feeling was a heart in a million pieces. It's not a happy feeling. It's not like, yay, all the good lessons learned. You know, I say there are lessons that I learned and they were amazing, but I have to acknowledge that it's not like I'm trying to make everything positive, because not everything feels positive. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that. So the second verse of this song, stacked meaning between every line, these pages get heavier with time. The weight we've disguised as our wings could lose us the love we hoped to bring. For me, that was really just thinking of the journals I've kept over the years and how many of those journals have been weighed down by the words of my desire and my heartbreak. And how it's, you know, it just stacks up, stacked meaning between every line. And also the messages we send to one another sometimes, the meanings between the lines. We say one thing, but we mean another. The games that we play with ourselves as well as with other people, all these things, they become heavy. If we aren't clear with ourselves and clear with the people in our lives, then all of that unspoken stuff, all of that in between the line, hidden things, all of that becomes heavy. It starts to weigh down the experience. And so the weight we disguised as our wings, you know, if we pretend that everything's fine and everything's light and, oh, we're all floaty and flying, that weight, if we aren't authentically that, and it's fine to be not authentic, it's fine to be heavy. It's like heaviness is, again, a part of the experience. But if we're pretending otherwise and we don't acknowledge it, then that weight can eventually lose us the love that we're hoping to bring and to find. And so that's an important acknowledgement, is that we have to keep doing that work on ourselves and with the people we meet to acknowledge all the aspects, both the lightness and the heaviness. And yeah, I feel really grateful to be in a relationship where we are actively doing that work right now. And it's like the hardest thing ever, but it's so rewarding. Every time we go through another process of depth and pain and resistance, and when we confront that, it's such a release and such a letting go. And yeah, I'm just really grateful to be with someone who can witness me in all the moments, that both the light and the dark, and for whom I can also be of service in that way, to hold that space. Yes. Anyway, so then the song continues and we get to the kind of middle part where things shift a bit, and it says, blood runs among the ruins. There's lust within our hearts. Tell the truth before we tear ourselves apart. Blood runs among the ruins. We must rebuild our hearts. Tell the truth before we tear ourselves apart. Again, that's what I was speaking about previously, that the truth is important. The things that we hide are the things that destroy us. So many times, I think that I've got all these big secrets and I don't want to tell someone something because I don't want to upset them and I don't want them to think badly of me, and like all these different ideas and stories I get in my head. But if I can sit down and honestly and openly speak my truth and be heard in that and be held in that and acknowledged, even if it does make the other person uncomfortable, If they're in the same place that I am, they can understand that truth is still important to be spoken, even if it is an uncomfortable truth. And as soon as that happens, the weight just, it's like, wow, lift off. Breath and openness and freedom. And I mean, incredible. I actually feel my voice just like altered its tone as I took a deep breath there. That was kind of amazing. Anyway, so yeah, the idea of blood runs among the ruins, there's lust within our hearts. To me, lust is not a negative thing. And like, I feel, I don't know if you perceive it this way, but it seems in this culture, in this society, that often lust is associated with negativity. This, oh, it's lust and you just lust after that person. You don't actually love them. And I'm not too worried about that stuff. I think lust is a beautiful part of being human. I think lust is a natural part of our sexuality, a part of attraction and a part of being human. But if we deny that lust, that's when the problems arise. If we pretend that we're all good little angels leading perfectly ordinary, predictable lives, that's when things start to get a little weird, as far as I can tell. So yeah, again, telling the truth. We must rebuild our hearts again. So that, I guess that is the one positive part of that song, Blood Runs Among the Ruins. We must rebuild our hearts, tell the truth before we tear ourselves apart. It's saying like, yes, there is the brokenness, but we will rebuild. We must rebuild. Like, that's part of the process as well. This final verse is one of the strangest and most beautiful I think I've ever written for myself. I don't know what you perceive it to be, and that's completely, you can disagree with me on that. I'm okay with it. Let me know. Show notes. Do check out show notes, nakedwithnate.com. I want to hear from you. I really like getting your comments and feedback is one of my favorite parts of my day. And so if you have anything to say, if anything comes up, If you know what it's like to have a broken heart, if you don't know, if you disagree with my perceptions about what that means, anything, questions, answers, ideas, anything, I would love to hear from you in the show notes. So nakedwithnate.com. So yeah, the final verse of the song is, this king has given up his crown, no throne, all my tears have worn it down. I'm pacing these halls until I tire. I'm a prisoner to all that I desire. And so this is the question I kind of started out with. It's like, are we prisoners to our desire? This is the title of this whole episode today. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be a prisoner? What does it mean to be a prisoner to your desire? It's actually one of the sort of Buddhist things, the things that Buddha said. I won't say Buddhist. I think it's interesting how religions form around people who themselves weren't necessarily trying to start a religion. I think it's quite an interesting observation, even if I don't know that, I've never heard something or read something that's made me think that either Buddha or Jesus wanted to be at the head of, like, wanted religions named after them in a sense. Like, they both were just saying, love one another, love yourself, do the work, equality, all that kind of stuff. They seem to be saying a lot of similar things, obviously had the differences, but I don't think either of them said, I am the most amazing thing that's ever existed, other than to say, I'm the most amazing thing that's ever existed because we are all actually one. And so we're all the most amazing thing that's ever existed. And it's just, remember that over our differences. Our differences aren't as important as our similarities. But other than that, I don't think either of them was saying, you should worship me. I am the one that is the most important way that you get to divinity or to yourself. It's a great image that my friend Ricardo spoke about, told me about, which I don't know where it comes from, but it's the idea that someone points at the moon, say, and says, look at that beautiful thing. And then everyone gets down on their knees and they worship the finger. And they say, oh, beautiful finger, I am not worthy. But actually what every spiritual leader, I've got off on a bit of a tangent here, but I'm just going to run with it. To me, every sort of teacher and prophet and sage, wise person that I've ever come across, all they've ever been doing is pointing straight into the center of my heart and of your heart, you who is listening to this, and into each of our hearts and saying, there is everything that you are looking for right in the center of you. You are what you seek. You are the self, you are what you're looking for, to quote my friend Sam Garrett's beautiful music. So yeah, this idea of, I think what Buddha was doing, what Jesus was doing, they were all just pointing straight at each of us and saying, there it is, you are it. Look into yourself. And then what everyone, unfortunately, what not everyone, but what so many people do is they drop, fall to their knees and they worship the finger, worship the messenger. And I'm not worthy, oh great messenger. When really the messenger was saying, you are it. You got it. It's all good. You are worthy. You're magnificent. Anyway, so the last verse of the song, let's get back to that. The king has given up his crown, no throne, all my tears have worn it down. Basically acknowledging the brokenness of brokenhearted, of being brokenhearted, the absolute just shattering of self that it can lead to, or that can be a part of it. This king, you know, this man who was powerful, this powerful human, this powerful individual is has given up his crown. He's a king no more. His throne has been worn down by his own tears. It's just, it's gone, man. The power, the sense of I am the powerful. It's like, no, I am the broken one. And that's okay. That's, again, that's part of the heartbreak process. But remembering that if you can really mourn and grieve that broken heart, in the grieving is the rebuilding. And that's where the heart gets glued back together. The tears are also the glue that bring it all back together. I'm pacing these halls until I tire. So again, I'm imagining like in a big sort of palace, empty castle hallways, echoing with these sad steps of this broken-hearted king whose throne has been worn down by his tears. Oh, it's so dramatic and sad. And the final line of the song, it kind of ends quite abruptly on that line. I am a prisoner to all that I desire. And I really feel like that is, again, to come around to why I've brought up Buddha and Jesus and these people, is because I think one of the things that Buddha said most clearly was that desire or attachment to things, attachment to materials or emotions, these are the things that make us prisoners. Because the feelings are there. So we have an experience, we feel love, and it's beautiful. And then we have a broken heart and it feels terrible. And then maybe another, and then another up and another down, another up. And all those things are going to, that is just life happening, unfolding as it tends to do, as it will continue to do. Who knows? We can say until we die, but who knows what happens when we die? And so the acknowledgement is of that cycle. And the danger is in the attachment to the feeling, is the attachment to either the brokenheartedness or the joy. So, oh, I have this amazing feeling. I don't ever want to let it go. No, don't let it go away. I got to hold it tighter, closer. I got to hold it. That holding itself is what makes us the prisoner. The desire makes us the prisoner. And the same when the heart is broken, if you hold on, oh, it could have been better. It was all my fault. It was all her fault. It was all their fault. I never again, fuck this terrible feeling. I rail against reality. Again, the desire, it's almost like a broken heart. If you hold on, and then that becomes the prison. And so I'm a prisoner to all that I desire. Everything I want that isn't what I have imprisons me. Everything I have that I don't want to lose imprisons me. Everything that is not an acceptance and presence with this moment as it is right now imprisons me. And it's not to say that's a bad, that's natural human. It's natural, completely ordinary for us humans to be this way, to feel this way. But it is epic and empowering to acknowledge that we hold on to nothing. We come into this life empty-handed. We leave this life empty-handed. Everything between is just a game. It's just a journey that we're on. And I say that as someone who loves my things. So don't get me wrong on that front. But I think, yeah, we can just all acknowledge that the broken heart will heal and then it will find love again. And even if that love itself is wonderful and continues and it becomes a relationship that lasts for the rest of this life, there will still be broken hearts within that love. And as someone who goes through that myself with my lover, my partner, my beloved, I can say that from my own experience. And yes, so that is the song Heart in a Million Pieces. That is the question and perhaps some insight into the question of, are you a prisoner to all that you desire? And I'd love to know what you think about that. What is it that you're a prisoner to? Or do you think you're not at all a prisoner? Do you think your desires are your liberation, as they sometimes can be? And again, this is the thing. I'm not trying to tell you what the truth is. I'm giving you my various perceptions and ideas and feelings around these different things. And I would love to hear what you think. I really don't have the truth. I don't know who does. I'd be interested to meet that person. Yeah, so let's listen to the song again. I think that's a great place to be right now, is to listen to Heart in a Million Pieces again. And I would love to know your insights from this new listen, with the insights that you've been given. What is it that brings up this time? What do you feel? And then, yeah, we'll share a little more afterwards. And thank you for being here. Here is Heart in a Million Pieces. Thank you.
and I said, I don't think I can bear this again. You know, my heart's in a million pieces. I don't know where this will end. I don't know where. Stack meaning between every line. These pages get heavier with time. Disguised as our wings, could lose us the love we hope to bring.
Tell me, what did you think of that second listen? Did anything different come up for you? Did you find new information? Did you enjoy it less? I would love to hear. In the show notes, nakedwithnate.com, you can find, well, you'll find some of the comments, some of the quotes, maybe some of the lyrics in there I'll put as well. And anything I think of that could help you on your journey. I'll also put, I mentioned my friend Sam Garrett earlier. I'm going to put a link to his music. He is a phenomenal musician. He really sings. He sings to the light. He sort of sings to the part, how would I say it? He sings to the kind of resolution of the human experience, the things that Buddha and Jesus and all these people were talking about, the feeling of moving into a place of acceptance and of non-attachment to anything. And his songs really help me to connect to that part. They're like, oh yeah, I get it. Something I get the same feeling when I read like Paulo Coelho or certain other amazing authors or poets, where I read and I just feel like a lightening of the load of my humanness. So I will send I'll put a link into the lovely Sam, who I'm going to be seeing in a few months, which is really exciting. I don't really have much else to say other than thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. It means everything to me. Thank you to my patrons who make this all possible. I couldn't do what I do without the support of a group of enthusiastic and committed patrons. So I do invite you to become a patron as well. There are some really lovely perks and rewards. The main one being that you know that you are directly helping me to bring more of what you love into the world, and also helping me to bring more of what you love into the world for those who can't afford it, because some people can't even afford a dollar a month. Some people are going through the most gnarly stuff. Like, I get emails sometimes from people just like apologizing, saying, I'm sorry that I can't pledge a dollar, or I can't pledge a dollar anymore. I'm unemployed and I've lost everything. I had to move back with my parents. Like, stuff, people go through crazy stuff. We all go through crazy stuff. And so for me, it's such an honor to be able to offer my music and these podcasts without having to charge for them, and really being able to do this full time and just offer hopefully something that brings joy and hope and positive upliftment to the world, to everyone who comes across it. And I can do that because those who can afford to do take part and do pledge, whether it's a dollar or five or $25 a month, like every bit adds up. And with a few hundred people or 1,000 or 2,000 people being a part of that, it allows me to expand and to keep growing and make more music and record better podcasts and just like grow this machine and support myself as an artist and as a creator, as someone trying to offer something of value to the world. Not trying to, someone offering something of value to the world. I'm not trying, I'm actually doing it, which is something I'm quite amazed by and quite proud of as well, because it's not always easy. Sometimes it's getting out of bed can be hard, but I'm glad to be here. I'm honored. So I'll have it in the show notes again, nakedwithnate.com. You can check out my Patreon page. You can decide if you want to be a part of that. I want to help make this whole ship move forward. That's it. I have been Nate Mangard. I'm still Nate Mangard. And I will be for as long as life allows. And I just want to say really from the bottom of my heart, thank you for getting naked with Nate. I couldn't do this without you. And it's such a pleasure. I look forward to seeing you in the comments or on the Twitter or the Insta or the Facebook or all these things. And I'll see you again next week for another episode of Getting Naked with Nate.
Try to see my point of view, echoes of another you, saving up your indiscretions. I've seen the wild untamable, more than less unshakable, shaper who has named me shameless. So leave me be, I'm tempted. Every rule I've bended, I shake the weight and break the hate with everything that I am made of. Try to see my point of view, echoes of another you, saving up your indiscretions. The wild untamable, more than less unshakable, shaper who has named me shameless. I'm looking for a friend to get me out of my head. This chamber of reflections is just paved with all my good intentions. Try to see my point of view, echoes of another you, saving up your indiscretions. And I've seen the wild untamable, more than less unshakable, shaper who has named me shameless. So if you are less stressed, let us put this to the test. For who is love when loving not those who have not loving God? La da 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 da, la da 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 da. Try to see my point of view, echoes of another you, saving up your indiscretions. And I've seen the wild untamable, more than less unshakable, shaper who has named me shame.